Hello, this is David.
Hey, David, this is Cindy McKellar. Sorry it took me a little bit to get back to you.
That's okay, Cindy.
I was on another phone coast. Okay, so you would like me to explain the different nuances of the olive?
Sure. Well, the thing was it you or Debbie I spoke to it before?
It was me.
Okay. Yeah, because definitely, and of course, if you're McKellar, then you're one of the family that owns the ranch.
Yeah.
And yes, I love to. Sometimes I put recordings up on my website so people can hear the differences of different things, which is great. And I was just reading some of the stuff on the website, California Coast Naturals, of the beginning of the whole thing, and that you people took it over, and that's terrific. But some of the things that you told me, I had no idea of, and I love learning new things. So let's start with the difference between green and black olives, which basically you said is the black or ripe.
Yeah, and I'm confused. You said we started California Coast Naturals. We didn't take it over. We were the original owners of the Santa Barbara Olive Company. We started that company back in the early 80s, took it to the number one specialty brand, and then sold in 2009. We unfortunately got hit with a bad embezzler through Chase Bank, so
that's to
our knees. So anyway, so now after a seven-year non-compete, we came back with California Coast Naturals, and we've taken it a step further because we're making sure that we are using the all-natural, most old traditional methods of curing in order to preserve the natural goodness of the food itself. So, as I mentioned previously, all olives start out green on the tree,
okay.
And as they ripen, just like any other fruit, like an apple or a peach or anything else,
right.
It will turn into its black stage. It goes through a red ripe stage, and then it turns black on the tree. If allowed to continue to ripen on the tree, they'll start to shrivel themselves on the tree.
Oh, okay. So they all go from green, which is unripe, to red, which is ripe, which I've never seen, to black, which is further ripe. What would we call
correct.
It?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, and the olive is one of the only stone fruits that didn't learn to change its bitter sugars to an edible sugar, which is why it has to be cured.
Huh.
So there's a natural glycosides in the olive that have to get leached out in order for it to be an edible fruit because it's a real astringent and it actually makes your throat kind of swell shut. There is a couple of varieties you can eat right off the tree, but it's very uncommon. So we allow, but as the olive continues to ripen on the tree, though, it does get more edible, and you can actually harvest black olives off of a tree, and we even saute them in olive oil and garlic on the stove, and you can eat them just like that.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
What do the red ones taste like?
The red ones are still high in the glycosides, but when we press our oil, we make a combination of some green, red ripe, and then black, and we put them all together to press our oils because we prefer a real rich, buttery kind of a flavor oil. Some people would prefer a grassier, hot, herbaceous. They use mostly all green. It also depends on the varietals. So we have 8 different varietals here on our farm.
Is varietal another word for cultivar?
Correct.
Okay.
So, for example, which was funny because we had an arborist come to our ranch one time, and he was supposed to be the expert, and we tried to explain that, you know, we're pretty experts on and snow, but the these people wanted an arborist to come and do all these things, so the blah, blah, blah. Long story short, the guy goes, oh, I didn't know you had more than one kind of olive tree. And then went, okay.
So some expert.
So we have Kalamatas, which is unusual because Kalamatas are generally only grown in Kalamata, Greece, and they're a football kind of a shape olive with kind of a sharp pit. We have Mission olives, which are the olives that came up from Sinaloa that were brought up from Mexico, originally used for anointing purposes, and they make a terrific oil, though. We have Manzanillos. We have Sevillanos. Sevillanos are the bigger olives that are really good for stuffing because they make a great, big, giant olive. We have Ascolanos, Etranas, and Etrana is an Italian varietal. Let's see, Ascolano, Etrana, Manzanillo, and Frontoyos. So those are the varieties that we have here. We like to blend them all together when we're making our oil. Some people prefer a varietal, but most people don't have a sophisticated enough palate to understand that. Very few of us in the country that would. And so then, depending on what our application is going to be, is when we harvest. But allowing each olive to go completely ripe on the tree, like I said, it does make a nice sun-dried black olive. Those are the ones that we're sending you samples of. Our whole family recipe, it's a 2,000-year-old recipe. We just certainly did not invent this recipe. It's simply taking the olives in their super ripe stage, layering them in rock salt like a lasagna, and that naturally bleaches the glycosides out. The salt will turn all purple. It's really cool looking. And then we rinse them. The regular recipes, you just eat them right like that. Personally, I find that too salty. So then we rinse ours, layer them in a screen again to dry more, and then either roll them in the olive oil.
And you had told me that most places don't do this naturally, and they turn their olives black in a different way. What do they do?
That's correct. So, but most olives that people are familiar with are a canned black olive,
right, which
is a moot food. It is not even a food. It is basically just fiber. And what they do is they harvest the olives green on the tree because it goes through a pitting machine a lot easier. We have to hand pit if you allow the olive to go naturally because you get too much waste.
It's more tender, and like a lot of companies, they pick things unripe because they ship better, but they're not as good for the people eating them.
Exactly.
Yep.
So then they take the olives and they put them through a pitting machine in the green stage. Then they take those green pitted olives and they put them in big vats that look like jacuzzis, and they oxygenate the water, start bubbling and bubbling it. That rots the olive. Basically, it's rotting the fruit.
Wow.
So they start a rotting process. And then back and started in the 30s in the pizza industry, they thought that the olive would be look better on a pizza if it was shiny black. So they started adding in iron chains into the oxygenated water. That turns the olive shiny black. Today, they use ferrous gluconate, and so they artificially turn the olive black. Once it's nice and shiny black and in this stage like that and rotting, then they take the olives, they put them in cans. They put them in cans, and then they bright stack it so there's no label on it, and they cook it. Now you've taken it to a whole new step further where you completely cooked all the nutrition out of the product. And that's basically everything that you see that says ripe olives, canned black ripe olives, that's what it is.
Wow.
It's not ripe. It's a pasteurized processed food that literally has no nutritional value whatsoever.
Not only that, but if somebody happens to have any issue with iron or even the condition, hemochromatosis, they don't even realize they're getting a whole bunch of iron in an olive.
That's right.
Wow.
And when you taste, next time you ever do, taste one, you'll perceive metal on your palate.
Wow.
And that's why. You will actually notice that, yeah, you're right, this tastes like a can.
And you don't do any of that. You do it right.
No. And so we use the lowest amount of sea salt allowed by law without using a chemical preservative in our jarred products. I still like to reduce the salt levels myself. So when I go home with my own olives, I will pour half the brine out of my green olives and just add purified water. And that leaches out more of the salt. And you keep them in the refrigerator.
Sure.
And they'll last for months. I mean, I go through a lot of olives, so nothing's going to last me months anyway. But our olives, because we don't cook them, because we don't use any chemicals, they're naturally high in antioxidants and probiotics.
And you are probably one of the only companies that does it this much better way.
We are the only company that commercially that's doing it. The other thing is also everything that we have is grown here domestically. And all other olives on the shelf are from Spain or Greece or Morocco. They are not grown here domestically. The only thing, even the canned olives that say from California, they still buy from Europe and South America or Tunisia, Africa, and then they put them through that cooking process that I told you about.
It's so fascinating, and I read the book Extra Virginity, so I learned all about how very, very little of the extra virgin olive oil on the market in the United States is actually extra virgin olive oil, and all these different things. And then when I was talking to Chad at the expo, he was mentioning how the, you know, when you don't filter the olive oil, of course, you've got the various, you know, people call it sediment, but it's actually full of antioxidants, full of parts of the olives, very, very good for you. But people see it in there, and they go, oh, these people didn't do their job well. They didn't pull that stuff out, when actually that's the better olive oil.
That's right. And the other thing to think about is, for example, the olives, most people say, oh, the best olive oil is Italian, which is really funny to me because I know, because I've been in the olive industry, well, my whole life, and most of the olives really came from Morocco. Morocco sends them over to Spain. The Spain has more olive trees than they have people, but they're aristocrats, and they don't want to harvest them. So then they take the Moorish olives, and then they, and that those olives, when they harvest them too, they sit out in bins in the field for sometimes days, and that cooks them right there in the sun. It's super hot. It cooks them naturally right there. When we harvest our olives, we do it in the fall here in Santa Barbara. We bring a press right into the field, so the olives are harvested, and the same day they're taken directly to a press and pressed in the same day. What happens in Spain is they'll sit there for days. Finally they get pressed, and that olive oil gets put in barrels. Those barrels get shipped to Italy half the time, and then they put it in a bottle and call it Italian.
Yeah.
Or it gets put on a container ship. The container ship takes 6 to 8 weeks to get from Europe to the United States. Then it goes into another warehouse. By the time that olive oil is on the shelf, it's a good close to a year old. It's not fresh at all.
Wow.
So that's something else to consider. To have a really good extra virgin olive oil, you should really consume it once you open a bottle, because we like to use a nitrogen bath to displace the oxygen before putting it in, because oxygen will help make the olive oil go off.
Oh, so the air on top of your bottles is nitrogen?
Yes.
I love that. That's Carlson and some of the cod liver oil companies do that. People don't realize that what they think is just air on top of the bottle is nitrogen. That way there's no oxygen,
that's
and
right.
It prevents it from oxidizing. I didn't know that any olive oil companies did that. Great. Fabulous.
No, they don't, but
oh.
We do.
I love it.
And it's just a lot of extra work. There's a lot more handling. It takes a lot more time, but you are really getting a real healthy product. So we have customers, too, that know that we usually press around October, November, depending on, you know, how the weather and how the ripening of the olives happen. And they'll be here. They want that oil that's been pressed within a couple of days.
They want it immediately. But actually, because of what you're doing, it's quite stable in the bottle.
Yes.
Once they open it, it should be used. And, of course, some people mistakenly, because they don't really even have extra virgin olive oil, put their olive oil in the refrigerator. Whereas, of course, that's going to change some of it, thicken it, and now it's going to separate into different layers,
that's
and you
right.
can't even get everything out together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you want to do is you want to treat it like a fine red wine, keep it in a cool, dark place, and try to only put it into containers that you're going to consume within 6 weeks.
Although, actually, with all of the unfiltered and the amount of sediment and everything there, I've found it's much more stable than some people think.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So,
excellent. And where are you in the McKella family?
I'm the mama.
Oh, okay.
I'm the grandma.
Your grandma. That's right. That's more and more. Mama becomes grandma, becomes great grandma.
Yeah, that's where I am. My husband and I started the Santa Barbara Olive Company back in 82. Craig actually taught Julia Childs how to use olive oil. She didn't know. We Wolfgang Puck. We've been in the American Institute of Wine and Food, one of the founders, Southern California Culinary Guild. As a matter of fact, we were just notified by the Specialty Food Association, which is international, the National Association of Specialty Food Trade. It's an international association of specialty foods and things, that we are being inducted into the Hall of Fame this summer.
I love it.